Hi everyone, this is Dr. B from agingwithpizzazz.com. This is one of my rare audios, at least to date, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm speaking with Chris Mamalula, one of the three authors of the new book, Choose FI, Your Blueprint to Financial Independence. Chris is also one of the partners on a favorite blog of mine called Can I Retire Yet? And Chris, even though I asked you about how to pronounce your name, I think I just mangled it a bit. So will you say it for everyone else?
I think you were pretty close. It's Chris Mamula.
Great. And I want to say welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So the subtitle of your book may seem obvious when it explains that this is a blueprint for your financial independence. But how do you define financial independence?
So what we really try to do with the book is to reframe the whole conversation. So traditionally, there's a big kind of, I almost think it's maybe a little bit of a fad at the moment because it's gotten so much steam, but it's called FIRE, financial independence, retire early. And everybody tends to focus on the retire early. And I think that draws people in because people all have a vision in their own mind of what retirement is. But what we really want to do is focus it on financial independence rather than the retirement side. And we want you to be able to use your money to live however you want. So, for example, I say I retired at 41 and I left my career. I was a physical therapist. But I still do some work. I'm writing this book. I work on the blog in ways that, I'm able to give back, and I do make some money, but that's really not a focus, and I don't make a lot of money, at least not to this point. But it's much more about just being able to do things that I'm passionate about at this point in time. And then if I don't become passionate, I can always change because I have that financial independence.
Yeah, sounds good. Chris, my readers, or listeners in this case, for Aging with Pizzazz, are very interested in their health and taking care of themselves in all ways, physically, mentally, emotionally. It's a big theme for us. And as you just mentioned, your career before retiring was as a physical therapist. And I was wondering what your favorite advice might be to offer people to both maintain their health and secondly, any input about health and finances.
I think for both cases, I think the best thing you can do is to educate yourself with both health and with finance. There's a lot of, I mean, it's an area that people have immense interest in, and so that's a good thing, but that also creates a market for there's a lot of people that are peddling bad advice, both with healthcare and with finance. And so I think it's a great thing just to educate yourself and to choose what you really want to do and then figure out the best way to go about achieving that.
Boy, that's a mouthful. Absolutely. Educate yourself. So our listeners are in different categories. Some still working as they are entering their second half of life, and others are long retired and well into their retirement funds or planning. I want to ask you about advice for each of them separately. So for those who are still planning retirement, your book references the concept of cutting years from your estimated retirement date. Now, I know you said you don't want to be concentrating on just the retirement early part, but nevertheless, what would your number one point be to offer them to make that happen, or how would you address it for them?
I think the most important thing, no matter what you make, you really have to save a portion of that to be able to create investments that are going to be able to work for you and support you. And I think a lot of people, when they hear saving, they think of sacrifice. And so a really big point that we emphasize in the book is becoming what we term a valueist, which means that rather than just trying to be frugal for frugality's sake, that you really cut spending as radically as you can in areas that aren't important to you, but to feel free to spend money on areas that are important. So, for example, in my life, even though I saved a substantial amount of money to allow me to get where I am, primarily by not spending a lot on housing and particularly on cars, which really are not of importance to me at all, and that's where a lot of people spend money. But on my journey to here, I traveled. I basically traveled all over the world. I've done high-altitude mountaineering. I've skied, scuba dived. I would not consider myself as somebody that's extreme frugality. I would feel like a total fraud if I tried to espouse extreme frugality, because I don't feel that I was living that out. But I did save about 50% of my income through cutting pretty mercilessly on those areas that aren't important to me.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So you're saying that while you were working, most of the time you were doing that, you were trying to save 50% of your income while you were still taking advantage of these other things that were important to you.
Yeah, correct. Basically what we did is my wife started working about a year ahead of me. So we started just living off of her salary, and she had a small amount of debt, a car loan and some student loans. And so we just used the money I was making while I was in grad school and the extra money that she had to pay off her debt. And that was working really well for us. So when I started making my professional salary, we just kept banking it and kept living off of whatever she made. And we did grow both of our salaries. So our spending did go up over time. But, yeah, we always saved that 50% more or less. You know, we weren't just a tight budget, but more or less we lived off hers and saved mine.
Great idea. Some of the book publicity mentions questioning the status quo on required expenses. And I love this idea, and I think you may have already touched on it a bit. But can you address it, especially for those who are well into retirement and wondering how best to manage the budgets they're on?
Yeah, so I mean, I think a lot of spending is just done kind of reflexively rather than being intentional. And so, and again, we try to not be judgmental, and it's really your choice what you want to spend on. But I mean, I think a lot of people, you buy a new car because your car payment's up, and people always live in that rhythm of having a car payment. Whenever you have more income, you tend to buy a bigger house. Cell phones are kind of a big thing now. Like people will buy the newest phone and they feel like they have to update as soon as their current plan is over. Cable,
every year.
All of those type of things. Yeah. Cable TV. And I think a lot of these things, if you really step back, I think they detract more than they add value to your life. But people just keep spending because that's what you do. So that's kind of where we focus, is focus on the things you really want to spend on.
That's a really interesting point about some detracting more than they add. Especially if they are reflexive, it's a good thing to look at. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Your book, Choose FI, also mentions enabling the lifestyle you desire while controlling downside risk. And that sounds like an entire book right there. But can you speak to that model just a bit? Maybe you already have, but clarify for me.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I'll use myself as an example. So my current lifestyle, I quote unquote retired. And so, I don't go to my traditional job that I have as a physical therapist. My wife also has cut back. She works about 28 hours a week. So she's like part time. So we have a ton of freedom, and we moved to Utah. So we live in the mountains of Utah. So for example, this year, we skied over 50 days. We go to like all of our daughters. We have a young daughter, and we go to at least one of us to pretty much all of her school events. And we do all these things to build the life we want. But we're not living a traditional retirement where we're sitting there watching our accounts every day, because we are doing some things that fit around our schedule that we can make some money. So we are able to live a very low cost lifestyle because we have a paid off house, paid off cars, and we're still able to live a rich life, but we don't really need much of any income. And we don't have to draw down a lot of our retirement savings as most people traditionally would with a traditional retirement. So we're kind of trying to get the best of both worlds.
And so the downside risk that you're trying to control is what exactly?
So, I mean, a lot of people say if you entered retirement, there's a lot of unknowns. So you have stock market risk, you can have inflation, you have interest rates, which are variable. And you have all these things and you just don't know. And particularly there's something called sequence of returns risk. So in the first decade of your retirement, if the markets kind of crash, you're going to be having to spend a disproportionate amount early on, and that's going to eat into your principal. And so you're not going to have that money towards the end of retirement when you may need it. So that's something that's very scary for people, and that's a real risk, and it should be scary. So what we've tried to do is to enable 90-95% of what we would want out of our retirement But because we are still earning some income, we're not drawing down much from our portfolio. So we've basically eliminated that risk, but we still have a lot of the upside in that, you know, we are able to be out several days a week in the mountains. We are able to do the things with our daughter that we want and have basically all of the features that we wanted from early retirement without actually being what most people probably would consider retired.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good retirement.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Part of financial independence is choosing your own adventure, as your book phrases it. What is your adventure? If you haven't already given us a little bit of a clue, how would you describe your adventure? Because maybe it's a bigger thing to you.
Yeah, so I think when my wife and I started, we were motivated to get out and seek outdoor adventure for us. We've done some high altitude mountaineering. We're big skiers. We've done some rock climbing, hiking, backpacking, all that type of stuff. And it was just kind of hard to balance what we wanted to do while having to work a traditional work schedule. And then we didn't think we could have children. And surprise, 6 years ago, my wife found out she was pregnant. And so then that really kind of focused us, having another big thing that takes up a lot of time. And so that's kind of what drove us. And so now we're able to do a lot of these things that are really important to us. We're able to have much more adventure and also really be, I think, the best parents we can be and be there for our daughter without being, you know, tied down to have to work a traditional work schedule.
Uh-huh. So a lot of your adventure kind of, I mean, it's still outdoors, but it also turned to family as well, family you didn't expect.
Yeah, that became a bigger focus and really a more of a driving force to really get serious. Because before that, I think we were both pretty competent adults who could, if something happened, earn for ourselves and be okay. But once we had a child, we had to really get serious. And that's when I got really did a deep dive onto the technical side of retirement planning and investing and tax planning and all those things that honestly I kind of just coasted through the first decade of my professional life and I didn't know much of anything about that stuff. Hmm.
Okay, do you think people can continue to choose and maybe change their adventures as they age? I mean, yours changed a little bit. You still have both, but do you think that people can continue to choose those adventures as they age?
Yeah, and that's really, to me, what the big upside of financial independence is that you can kind of pursue things as much or as little as you want because you're not bound by the need to make money to support a lifestyle that you've taken on. So whether that be a lot of people get themselves in trouble right from the get-go with student loans or people that they come right out and they'll take the biggest mortgage they can get and the car payments and they get into that lifestyle inflation. What we focus on is kind of all three aspects. So there's the spending aspect, so you can control your spending so you don't have all that baggage you have to carry. We emphasize actually earning more because some people think it has to be extreme frugality, and none of us wrote the book and my partner Daryl in the blog, none of us would I consider extremely frugal. So we emphasize that earning more. And then investing is important because a lot of people just think it's so complicated and it really doesn't have to be. So if you can kind of get all cylinders firing, you can produce a lot of freedom in your life. And that's really what it's all about, as far as I'm concerned.
Sounds like a great model. Well, thanks for talking to us, Chris. Is there anything else that you might want to add that I haven't asked you about?
I think you really hit the big points. We're really hoping this book is going to resonate with a lot of people and really kind of give a different perspective from what most traditional personal finance advice is.
So, yeah.
We're hoping it'll do well.
Good. And for those listening, again, I've been speaking with Chris Emula. I know I'll get it one of these days, Chris. The author of Choose FI, Your Blueprint to Financial Independence, along with co-authors Brad Barrett and Jonathan Mendoza of the Choose FI podcast. And the book is now available in hardcover, paperback, and on Kindle, and I hear soon to be on audiobook as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you.
It was a great pleasure. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.